Amen. Let's remember those that are traveling. I know this is a holiday weekend and people are out of place and gone, but thank God you're here this morning and we're all here to celebrate together. Amen. I want to talk about, you know, this is Christmas and I've really been seeking the Lord a direction. I didn't just want to go the typical way that everybody else does. So I want to go to the book of Luke. And I really thank God for leading me to the book of Luke, because Luke, as you know, the author of the book, also authored Acts. And Luke was a physician. He was actually Paul's personal physician. And the ministry that he had was that of medicine, but also of ministry with God's word. And so he gives a little bit more detail. As you study the Gospels, they're all similar, but each one has its personality. Luke is very detailed, of course, as a physician, he would have to be. And so you see that running over in his writings. Now, we typically pick up in the middle of chapter 1, but this morning, I'm not going to hold you for just a little while, but I want to go to Luke chapter 1. And I want to begin with verse 1. And we're going to read about four verses this morning. And today we celebrate a beginning of a season. And the name of this season is Confirmation. Somebody needs that this morning. We all need that this morning because we are going through things in life that we need God to move on. And I want you to understand, God is a confirming God. God promised many, many years that this event would happen. And as God keeps his word, his event happens. And so in chapter 1, I want to look at that first word, inasmuch. Some translations have for as much. But that's a very powerful term there. And Greek is really prevalent as you begin to study this, because Luke chapter 1 is actually the longest chapter in the New Testament with about 80 verses in it. So it was important to Luke to make sure that you understand the preface of what's about to happen. Understand the dialogue of about what's about to happen. Understand that the birth of Christ and Christmas and all that is not just an event. It was major, major prophetic fulfillment. God is still God of this world. God is still God of the United States. God is still God of America. Whether they acknowledge him or not, he's still God. And he is a God of utmost detail. And though the enemy would try to make you feel that he's out of sort, or he's out of pocket, or he's not attentive to what's going on, or he's asleep or dead or whatever you may have heard, he's very much God. And he's God that will perform what needs to be performed. So as we begin this study here, the preface of the events of Christ's birth, he says here, inasmuch. Now, as I said, some say for as much, in as much. What's going on here, as you've been with us in Bible study on Wednesdays, there's a lot of skeptics. There's a lot of people that are saying that God's not God, God's not real, this is never going to happen. And so he says for as much, as if to say, all the controversy, all the lies, you know, I love to preach one word sermons, and I could preach right here on for as much, because we live in a world that says a lot of things, but for as much and in as much, God is still God and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. And so what Luke begins to describe here, it says, I've done some investigation. I have investigated. I don't write you this letter out of feeling. I don't write you this letter out of Well, let me think about it for a while. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that God anointed him to write this. But as he writes this, he begins to reveal investigation. In the word eyewitness comes out. Let me read it to you. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of things that have been accomplished among us. Now I got to read it again because you didn't get it the first time. I didn't. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I can guarantee you there's other stories coming in your mind telling you what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to take place. You're never going to have this. You're never going to be healed. You're never. You know what? You've heard those stories, haven't you? If you're going through something right now, I want you to know there's another version of your life, and there's a liar that's trying to tell you that things are not going to come together. Things are not going to turn around. But I'm here to declare today, publicly, and among these thousands of people, that the devil's a liar. Amen. And as God spoke to you, his word will not return void. I need that. Somebody else might need that this morning. But he said, I undertaken to compile a narrative. So he said, I've studied myself. I have researched myself. Very intelligent man, Luke. He says, I have made decisions myself based on evidence. And Luke says here, a narrative of things which have been accomplished among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Now, the word eyewitness is very, very important there that you need to understand that, because he says, eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. He was saying that though I may have not personally seen things and done things, I have talked to ones that have, and I declare to you today that God is God among the nations. Amen. And I feel so strong today. I thank God for the anointing that's in Northview. I want to tell y'all that now. I thank God for the anointing, and I feel a strong anointing here this morning that is trying to get a word to somebody today. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you throw your hands up, because there's a lying spirit out there that'll tell you it will never, ever turn around. But my God is a turnaround God. Amen. Amen. You believe that? How many of you today has been through things in life and God turned it around? Amen. Every one of us. You want to know why? Because he didn't give up. We gave up. Or we thought it ain't never going to change. But he's a God of change. And we're in a nation now that we're hearing left and right, this and that and the other, what in the world. And it seems like God is thrown over there in a corner. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? I've had some eyewitnesses. And this morning we got eyewitnesses in here that said, I know God will do what he said he will do. Amen. This is good stuff right here. Turn to the woman's side and say, this is good stuff. Three of you, I appreciate three of y'all saying that. Just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemeth good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account. I like that. To write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. And then the last verse, verse 4, that you may have certainty concerning the things which you have been taught. So the first four verses are an introduction or a preface. He's writing this letter, as it's been discussed, to a man by the name of Theophilus, but it's been investigated to see if it was a man. Because Theophilus is a Greek word, theo meaning God, and Theophilus meaning love, and he said, lovers of God. So it's been debate that is he writing to a man or is he writing to a group of people? Whatever you want to discourse at it, God is writing to people that loves him and says, listen, hold on. God's a God of promise. God's love doesn't change. When God promised you something years ago, and I know you feel like it's never going to happen, God don't forget. Many testimonies, but there's coming a king. There's coming a king. There's coming a king. There's no king coming. There's nothing going to change. This empire will always be the same. And so as he writes this letter, old Theophilus, lovers of God, understand that what's about to transpose, what's about to happen, is a God confirming his word. All right, let's look at just a couple of things, and then I'll let you go home. A couple of things. God is a God of promise. Number one, that promise is based on authenticity. Now, it took me a while to learn to get that word out. I got a little speech impediment. Authenticity. Authentic. When you go to look for something, it means a lot more if it's authentic, right? So I want you to understand that the promises of God are based on authentic uniqueness of God. There is no other God like him. Now, I want you to get something here. All right? Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative to the things which have been accomplished among us, just as those who were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them unto us. That's the prophets and different ones. It seems good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account. The book of Luke is an orderly account. Most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that are coming. I want to read that again because I want you to get it. Amen? Wake the one up beside and say, you need to hear this. Listen to verse 2. Just as those who were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them unto you, it seems good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account to you. This orderly account comes from the Greek word clause. And so, as you know, if you've got a legal document, they always tell you to read the fine print. They always tell you there's a clause. There's a clause in the contract. You ever heard that? You should have read the fine print. So what is he saying here? He's saying, I'm giving you an account with all the fine print, and you can read all the fine print because I want you to know this is a planned account. This is a logical sentence. This is a logical order. And the things that I'm about to tell you are real. Isn't that awesome? He's not writing about how he feels. He's not writing about what he thinks. Now I want to tell you something. God is a God of authentic Christianity. He's a God that bases everything he is on who he is. So when we begin to read the book of Luke, we're reading from a very intelligent man that says, I have researched and I have investigated and I hear the negative forms and negative voices that are in the world. But I declare to you, the things that I'm getting ready to tell you are real. And we're going to read some of those next week and the weeks after to come. Because I want to tell you, when you read the book of Luke and the story and the birth of Christ, it amazes me of how amazing our God is. Now, I've just read you this first part, these first four verses, and it's sort of like reading the legalities of a contract. It's not popular. It's not easy to understand. It's not easy to read. But you need to read it so you'll understand what the contract says. Amen. And God wants you to understand. I don't know what you're facing today, but we serve a God that is authentic. We serve a God that's got a plan for you, that your plan is not like anybody else's plan. He has devised a plan for you, and that plan is that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That plan is that you succeed and not fail. That plan is that you be the head and not the tail. Amen. You are somebody in God. You are somebody to the point that He gave His only Son for you. The second thing about the promises of God, not only are they authentic and they come from God alone. Let me give you that before I move on. God's word is His infallible word. God's word. Does it excite you anymore? Does it thrill you anymore? Do you find peace in His word anymore? People are searching today, and what you need to search for is what God said. Do you remember back in the garden? Stay with me now. Do you remember back in the garden when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were enjoying the presence of God, and you know who slid in there? Do you remember what He put in the garden that was not there? Confusion, doubt, disbelief. What are you battling today? What are you battling today? As we stand in an America that's going through a lot of turmoil right now, we need to preach the word like we've never preached it before. We don't need new gimmicks. We don't need new plans. We need to preach the word. I don't know what you're going through right now, but what you need is the word. What you need to do is obey the word. You need to get to the point that you listen to this word and let the word become you. Why? Because it's an authentic word from God. Amen. Do you love His word today? Do you love Him and His word? Why do you do it? Because He's brought you through a lot of things. He's an authentic God. The second thing is the accuracy of His promise. This is one that I really stayed on for a few days because I didn't quite understand this one, because how many of you are going through things right now that doesn't seem too accurate? How many of you are going through things right now that doesn't seem too fair? But God's a God of favor. And God's a God that brings His people through things, and He does it to the detail. Now right now, America, and right now your life or whatever may be disarrayed, and you say, I don't even know what the detail is. God's a God of details. When your life is in the boat and the storm's coming and you feel like you're going to lose it all, He's on the bottom of the boat asleep. Why? Because He understands the details, and He understands He's God, and He understands that no storm or no anything you go through is going to pull you away from who He is. Do you think God gets up every morning and you tell Him what you're going on and said, man, I didn't know you were going to go through that. Let me think about it. I'll get back with you in a little while. I don't really know how to handle that. Aren't you glad we serve a God that knows how to handle everything? And then the second thing about His promises, He gives us details. He gives us details. He's accurate. God, if you don't believe there's details, go look at some of these flowers. Go look at the universe. Look at all the trees and all the little things and all the little dots and all the little things. Man can't do that. God did it to the detail. Look at your life. Do you realize you were created with detail? Isn't it amazing what's going on in your body right now? Your heart is pumping so much blood, so many seconds. Or your brain is dialoguing so much information right now. Your brain is receiving, you know, this message, or your brain is receiving what you're going to eat for lunch, or your brain is receiving right now. Your brain is going on a lot of stuff. Isn't it amazing how that your whole being is detailed? Who did that? And sometimes we go through things in life and we say, This thing is just so big. But we've heard it before, but let me say it again. It's not too big for God. See, I don't understand the wilderness. I don't understand the pain. I don't understand things in life. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that you can get to a level in God. You just float through life and everything is just everything. But that, you know, that's not true. There are going to be things you go through in life you do not understand. And that's when you can't lean to your understanding. You got to lean to a God that is authentic. There's no other God like Him. And you got to lean to God. I don't understand the details, but You need to help me understand the details. Lord, I don't know why You're asking me to do this. God, I don't know why when You need something, He tells you to take what you need and give it away. Amen. God says you need money, take the money you got and give it away. God says you need something, do this or do that. How many of you know that God does that sometimes? How many when you're going through things and God will say, give that $20 in your pocket to somebody. And you'll say, well, I need that $20. And He says, just give it. And you give it out of obedience and you walk down the road and somebody gives you $100. You heard stories like that? Is anybody here that can say that God has not blessed you? Everybody in here, God has blessed you, hasn't He? And you want to know why He's blessed you? Because He's a God of the details. Some of you in here have lost your jobs. Some of you in here have gone through medical problems. Some of you in here have gone through situations when you look back at it now, you cannot figure it out on paper. But He's a God of the details. Let me hurry up and get you out of here. The last thing is He's a God of authority. When He says it, it's done. He told the prophets of old that there's coming a king. There's coming a savior. And hear how He's going to come. And now we celebrate today a season that's about to take place. As you begin to read the rest of this chapter here, you'll see where John the Baptist was miraculously born. You'll see where Jesus is miraculously born from a virgin. And God is speaking to us today in America. Do not be moved by what you see. Do not be moved by what you hear. But be moved by My word. Learn My word. Know My word. And as you walk in His word, He will deliver you. The word for today is confirmation. Foundation of truth. God will confirm His word. Don't you stand to your feet right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, God, for being a God of Your word. And Lord, I don't know what people are going through today, but I know that You know. And as all heads are bowed and no one looking around, I wonder today if there's somebody here that says, I'm going through some stuff in life and I need some confirmation from God. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for those hands. Many hands are going on all over this place. And what I'd like for you to do right now, if you will, take the hand of the one beside of you. You see, you don't necessarily have to walk up here to this altar. You can make right there where you are an altar. And I want you to begin to pray for the one's hand that you're holding. Now, you don't know who raised their hands because you weren't looking around. But several people today raised their hand saying, I need some confirmation. I need an authentic God. I need an accurate God. I need a God of authority in my life right now. I need God to be God in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, You've seen the hands that went up today. You know the heaviness of the hearts. You know, God, what we're dealing with. You know, God, as we proclaim a Savior has come to the world, that You're still here today and You're still saving the world. Now, Lord, there's a lot of storms going on in America today. In this congregation today, there are storms that are going on. There are storms that are going on. But God, You're the God of the boat. And I ask You right now, first of all, that a peace of God would begin to pass over their lives right now. God, may they begin to feel the peace of God rest on their life right now. And God, may they take their hand and put their hand in Your hand this morning. And God, may they do as Peter, when he was sinking in that water, He reached his hand out to God and God pulled him back. God, there's people here today that need you to pull them back because they need you today. Father, we stand on your word. We need confirmation. And we thank you for being a confirming God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you leave, remember next Sunday is I Love Northview Sunday. What that means is I want you to invite somebody. I want you to bring somebody. I want you to call somebody. And you say, well, I've done all that and I can't bring. Try with all your might to bring somebody. And we just want to share with what God is doing in this place. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a great week.